Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, we're reading through the Bible, and this is chapter 7, the Song of Solomon. Let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. Lord, we love your mind, we see what your mind is your word, the Bible. And we're to put the Bible into our minds so that we have your mind. Open up the windows of heaven and anoint this tape in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's begin. King James Version, and then you'll do my commentary.
How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter! The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Thy navel is like a round goblet, which wanteth not liquor. Thy belly is like an heap of wheat set about with lilies. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins. Thy neck is as a tower of ivory, thine eyes like the fish pools of Heshbon by the gate of Bath-Rabban. Thy nose is as the tower of Lebanon which looketh toward Damascus. Thine head upon thee is like Carmel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. How fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights.
Now this is King Solomon talking. It didn't say so in the King James Version, but it is King Solomon speaking or praising the beauty of the Shulamite, his new bride, which is symbolic of, Solomon is symbolic of Christ here. And the Shulamite is symbolic of the church, the bride of Christ. And he's praising the beauty of the Shulamite, even her feet, the sandals that she wears, because she walks with she's shod with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body of Christ is shod with the gospel. Okay, now read what I said here.
Commentary, Solomon speaking. How beautiful are your sandaled feet, O queenly maiden.
Yeah, he's speaking to the Shulamite. How beautiful are thy what?
Sandaled feet.
Sandaled feet. This means she's walking in the gospel, in the light of the Lord. Okay, then what?
O queenly maiden.
O queenly maiden. Okay, then what else?
Your rounded thighs are like jewels.
Your rounded or curved thighs are as jewels. Then what?
The work of a skilled craftsman. Your navel is as delicious as a goblet filled with wine.
Because the belly is filled with the Word of God. The whole body is filled with the Word of God. And that's beautiful. And this is the Lord God parallels. He's the one that invented love and marriage and sex. And he likens the relationship between himself, God, and his church, the people of the Lord that have accepted him on this side of eternity, and that walk completely clothed in righteousness with the whole armor of God. They are clothed with the garment of light. And people that hate the light and hate doing things perfectly unto the Lord are not of the Lord. They forget God to be his servant, his slave, every day, every moment of the day. And they just want to once over lightly with his word. There is no righteousness in them, no light. Okay, now let's go.
Your belly is lovely, like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. Your breasts are like twin fawns of a gazelle. Your neck is as stately as an ivory tower. Your eyes are as the sparkling pools in Heshbon by the gate of Bath-Rabban.
Because the people, the body of Christ, is more powerful and is able to destroy with the spiritual armor, the sword of the gospel, and bring down every evil spiritual force on the face of this earth. Much more powerful than little David with Goliath. Okay, then what else?
Your nose is as the Tower of Lebanon overlooking Damascus. Your head is as majestic as Mount Carmel, and the sheen of your hair radiates royalty. A king is held captive in your queenly tresses.
Okay, and then we have the Webster's Dictionary, in case people don't know what tresses are. That's the locks of hair. Okay, then what else?
Oh, how delightful you are, my beloved. How pleasant for utter delight, exclamation.
And how pleasant is the body of Christ, Christians, people that have the Lord living in them, people that hate evil. How lovely are they, people that hate Satan, are lovely to the Lord. Those that love God are lovely unto him, and those that hate Satan are lovely unto the Lord. Jesus said it. We cannot have two masters. We've got to love one and hate the other. Either you love the Lord and hate Satan, or you love Satan and you hate the Lord. All those that are not with the Lord are against him. If you say, well, I'm not making a commitment, you're saying I'm against the Lord. Then what else?
King James, verse 7. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree, I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples, and the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. Commentary, verse 7 through 9. You are tall and slim like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters of dates. I said, I will climb up into the palm tree and take hold of its branches. Now may your breasts be like grape clusters, and the scent of your breath like apples. May your kisses be as exciting as the best wine.
Right, because the breasts are for feeding the children, and it's like clusters of grapes, because it brings forth, when you're feeding people the word of the Lord, by the Spirit of the Lord, then it brings forth clusters of grapes of souls that are going to be reaped very soon into eternity with the Lord. Okay, then what else?
May your kisses be as exciting as the best wine, smooth and sweet, flowing gently over your lips and teeth. King James, verse 10. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages.
Okay, now this is the Shulamite. She's wanting him to come with her to visit her home, where she worked in the vineyards, which is symbolic of let's go out into the vineyards and continue winning souls. Let's go out into the country, the countryside, and win souls. Okay, let's go.
Commentary, verse 10, the Shulamite speaking. I am my lover's, the one he desires.
See, isn't this better when you know who's speaking?
Yes.
Okay, and what it's all about? I'm for my Lord. I'm for Jesus. I'm for winning souls. That's what he came into the world for, and that's what I aim to do. Okay, that's I am my beloved, and my beloved, I am his delight. Okay, go ahead. What else?
King James, verse 11. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages.
Okay, now you have to do this one too.
Okay. Commentary, verse 11. The Shulamite desires to visit her home, her work. Come, my love, let us go out into the fields and spend the night among the wildflowers.
Let's go out and around the wild people in the world and witness to them. Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, they may be thorns, but we don't know. They might be flowers. Amen?
Amen.
Is it better to know what it means?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
King James, verse 12. Let us get up early to the vineyards.
We got to work out in the world, okay? When we're sowers, we have to go out into the field. The field is the world. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go out into the fields. Let's go out into the world. Among the wild ones. And let's not let them influence us, but let's us influence them. The Lord is coming back to earth again. all you people, you wild ones out in the world, you're going to die one of these days. And the Lord has sent us, his bride, into the vineyard to attempt to do our best to convince you, you wild ones, to accept the Lord because and keep his commandments and to do what he tells you to do. Otherwise, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven and spend eternity in hell, in the lake of fire. Then what?
Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear.
Let's see if the what's happening with the preaching that we did. Because the word of the Lord shall not return void. It's just like we're going out into the field and sowing all kinds of seed. But we must have faith that the seed is going to grow up, or else we wouldn't plow and break the soil up first, and then make sure that there's fertilizer in there, and then sow seed into it. How do we know that seed is going to come up? We don't know. It might be seed that's out of code. Amen? But the Word of God is seed that's never out of code. And when we sow the seed, preach the Word, teach the Word, we know that it's going to germinate in the hearers. And some of them will take it seriously and do something about it, and some of them won't. Not every seed that you plant is going to grow, but all the seed of the Lord, if it's preached in the Spirit, will bring forth life. It'll germinate in people's spirits, in their heart, in their soul, and it's like throwing a hook into the belly of a fish. They're hooked. And then somebody else sows some more seed into them and waters it. And pretty soon they come to a crisis in their life. And then they get on their knees and cry out to the Lord based on the amount of seed, the word that's been sown into them. The Lord Jesus said that the seed is the word of God, and that the word of God is Jesus. And the word of God is God, and God is Jesus. Jesus is God. All right, then what?
Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves.
Right. So there will we give the people, the wild flowers out there, the Lord's love. That is his word, because his word is true and his promises are true. And his word is life. It has life in it. But it also has death if it's preached not in the Spirit. If it's preached in the Spirit and people really want to see something happen with God's word, then they are very intense about preaching it, and their mind is not on anything else but the Lord's word and what he tells us to do. Well, does that mean that you're not supposed to have a relationship with your husband or your wife? God forbid. Because the word, the seed, tells you to. Amen?
Amen.
It's a commandment. So if you do the whole word of the Lord, and then does it mean that you can't be married? God forbid. The Bible commands us to be married. And not all. Some of them are to be eunuchs. But it doesn't mean, you know, there's many things in the Word of God that tells us how to live and how to work and how to live and love and to be have a union with our wife or your husband, just the same union as you have with the Lord. It's a oneness, and the Lord wants to show the oneness of God through our physical marriage, and our, which is spiritual also. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 12. Let us get up early and go out to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vines have budded.
Let's be interested in doing. Let's get up early. Let's be anxious, you know, to say, look, have you ever planted anything in your life and you want to go out and see every morning? I used to go out to see, is there any tomatoes? Did it, you know, make a little green tomato yet? Or is there a watermelon that's going to bud forth? Haven't you ever done that?
Yes.
Yes, if you've planted, you've done that. If you planted the seed, the Word of God, you're out there and trying to figure out, you know, I preached to this person last week and I preached to him the week before, and I'm just waiting to see if they're going to ask me any questions. You should be that interested in human beings out in the vineyard, out in the field, as you would a tomato plant. Amen?
Amen.
Some people put more emphasis and more concentration on a radish seed than they do the Word of God, or a tomato plant, or green peppers, or watermelon, or whatever they planted. But we are, our main concern, if we're believers, is to plant the Word of the Lord and be anxious to see the results. Because the Lord says it will come out. It will not come back void. Something's going to happen. They're either going to turn into saints, or they're going to reject it and turn out to be devils. I'm always anxious. Okay, then what?
Let us see whether the vines have budded, whether the blossoms have opened, and whether the pomegranates are in flower. And there I will give you my love.
And there I will give you my love. I'll preach the word to you. I'll show you things of the Lord so that you can build more faith into your soul, into your spirit, into your mind, your spiritual mind. Then what?
King James verse 13. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Commentary verse 13. There the mandrakes give forth their fragrance, and the rarest fruits are at our doors, the new as well as old, for I have stored them up for you, my lover.
The Lord has given us both the Old and the New Testament. It's a sweet-smelling fragrance, and the fruits of the Word of God are many. He sets a table before us and tells us to eat, to dine, and come and dine with Him. So tomorrow we'll be doing chapter 8, Lord willing, the final chapter of Song of Solomon's. And until then, this is Tony Alamo, and God bless. Amen.